Speaking of Americans, we have the original Green Mountain Girl herself, Hannah Carney, the gold medalist in moguls at Vancouver. And Hannah, take me back to that night. First of all, you're skiing at night, and there you are. There's the Canadian favorite going before you. You got all the maple leaves waving, hoping that you'd fall down and something, and you pulled off your best run. Do you think about that every day?
Almost every day. Yes, the Prime Minister of Canada was actually in attendance because Jen Hile was supposed to win Canada's first gold medal on home soil. It was the first night of the Games. It was warm. It was raining. I think, luckily, the Canadians are sports enthusiasts in general. They respect a good competition. And so, although I know Jen Hile was very upset, I didn't sense any bitterness on the hill. I just pretended like they were cheering for me, and it motivated me to ski my best run of my life up to that point.
Well, you know what's interesting, Hannah, is the fact that, you know, you did your little heli, which you pulled off well, but I remember the commentator said, look at her hands. And when he saw your hands, he knew you were having a good run. Now, for me, as just a weekend warrior type of skier at best, what was it about your hands that the commentator knew you were having a great run?
My hands were doing very little, and that's a sign of someone who is balanced. If you're either out of control or backseat, your hands tend to fly around you. I'm lucky, and I've put a lot of effort into this, that my hands are one of my strongest attributes of my skiing, as I think that the least amount of upper body movement you can have, the better. It doesn't take away from the athleticism of the turns and all the action of your legs. So I think he just thought I looked calm, confident, and balanced, and that was a sign that I was having a good run.
Rick Tittle with gold medalist Hannah Carney, of course, going to Sochi. And I'll tell you what, I think it's cool that moguls kind of go first because you were able to be the first gold medalist, just as Johnny Mosley was when he won, and he's a Bay Area guy like myself. And when you're the first, the whole country is waiting. When are we going to get a gold? And then all the focus, I mean, David Letterman, the Today Show, I mean, all the focus is on you. I like it on the medal stand when people get emotional, and you did. I mean, you had everything going for. What was it like when the whole country, you were their darling?
Not a bad feeling at all. it's a moment where you can, like, take a deep breath and try to soak it all up because you've been training for your whole life for that moment. So it was exhausting, but fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of attention, a lot of interviews, a lot of time that is taken up by that focus, but it's an honor and sort of a treat at that point, but certainly not something you're prepared for. We spend all our lives training in the gym to make our sport as easy as possible on our bodies, but we forget about the side effects of success.
Well, you talk about training, and I remember watching video of you training, and to me, you looked like you were training for the floor exercise in gymnastics. I mean, your flexibility, the triple sow cows, basically, you were pulling off on this floor routine. I know you are also an outstanding soccer player, a great track and field athlete, so, you know, a great athlete. What was it about the moguls? Because for me, if I look at the conversation I had with Johnny Mosley, he's like, I had a lot of fun with it, and who knew that it would be an Olympic sport? It was just these two perfect things came together for me.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that. You have to, I think, to be successful in a sport, you have to love it and do it for other reasons besides trying exclusively to make the Olympics or to make a career out of it. You do it because you simply love to ski. Now, for me, Olympics was in the freestyle skiing and mobile skiing was in the Olympics when I was a kid, so I knew it was an option. I had great role models like Donna Weinbrecht, Liz McIntyre, and Johnny Mosley. But there's funny things about our sport that because it's so new, it changes quickly. So I didn't have the foresight to realize how much acrobatics was going to play a role in our sport. So that's actually something that's newer to me. But it makes training for a sport very fun because it's never boring. We're doing acrobatics, we're doing trampoline work, we're doing strength workouts, endurance workouts, we're running up mountains, we're running on a track. We're doing yoga, we're staying flexible, doing power and plyometrics. So it's really fun to train for, but it's absolutely a full-time job.
Well, talk about a full-time job doing that. You're also an Ivy Leaguer at Dartmouth, Vox Clementis in Deserto. You're over there. I can't imagine that you have a full load at an Ivy League school and doing this. You're making the rest of us feel pretty lazy. How do you fit that all together?
Well, if it makes you feel better, I do not take a full load, and I go very slowly. I am a 27-year-old freshman I go one term at a time. So the Dartmouth schedule allows me to go to school in the spring for 10 weeks and then focus completely on my training. So it works perfectly with the amount of time I would be sort of recovering and taking it easy after the season. I go from our competition on Sunday to class on Monday morning, 10 weeks of school, and then I refocus on training. So I'm not successfully doing both. I'm slowly going through Dartmouth and still focusing on my athletic career.
Well done. A couple more questions for Olympic gold medalist Hannah Carney. And you know, I'd love to get your perspective now, because in 06 you went in and everybody's like, she's going to win it, and you didn't get through the qualifications. I'm sure it was a heartbreak. We just talked about Vancouver and winning on enemy territory, so to speak. Now you're going overseas, you're going to Russia. Everybody knows you're the favorite again. What's your perspective? Because you know the agony of defeat and you know the thrill of victory.
Well, they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I've lived through both of those experiences and kind of learned that no matter what happens, you wake up the day after the competition and life goes on. So, it was very different experiences. I think the day after Torino, I was just sitting by myself in the athlete village feeling sorry for myself. The day after Vancouver, I was doing interviews and celebrations and things that were a lot more enjoyable. And yet life does still just go on. So hopefully that gives me this sort of feeling of confidence and remove some of the pressure. I've never truly gone in as the favorite. I'll be wearing the number one bib at this Olympics, and let's just see if I'm up to the challenge. I'm excited for the opportunity to represent our country one last time.
And it's not because you're dribbling. They call those bibs. That's just what they call them, right?
That's exactly. True. That's our competitive bib. Yes.
All right. And you wore number three last time, if I'm correct, right?
That's a good memory.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about bare naked granola. Tell us more about how that is part of your preparation.
Well, I've been lucky enough to partner up with bare naked granola heading into these games, which means, A, that I get to eat a ton of granola, which I was doing anyway, but when they decided to establish a relationship with me, it made it a lot more affordable for me. I live at the Olympic Training Center in the summers at Lake Placid, and fortunately, they are fully stocked with bare naked granola. The fruit and nut original flavor is one of my absolute favorites. It's a fantastic snack. So my relationship with them is one I'm really excited about, because it's an organic relationship. It's a product I truly believe in and eat. So it makes it a lot easier to be excited about our relationship.
Just one more Olympic question for you, and that is, you know, you see the opening ceremonies and all the Americans are together, and we don't dip our flag to monarchs and despots anymore, or even nice presidents and queens. We just don't do that. But one of the cool things is that you get to know athletes in other disciplines, and maybe just if you have a quick little story or a name of someone you got to meet on, maybe not even the American team, maybe another team that you thought was pretty cool.
Well, the opening ceremonies, the part that you don't see on TV is that for about 4 hours before the opening ceremony, you are all together getting shipped around from the athlete village to a bus to a holding area to another arena, and then finally to the opening ceremonies where you wait. The United States is one of the last countries to be announced, so you're underneath the stadium with all of these teammates. So during that experience, you meet several other people and get as many pictures as you can, exchange stories. I don't necessarily have one particular athlete, but reconnected with ski team athletes who we know and see this in the summers in parks of Utah. The bobsledders and the luge athletes that I see and live with in Lake Placid in the summers. It's fun to play the guess what sport that person does game, because there are so many different body types, so many different styles, and you can generally tell. And it's the only time we're all together, or almost every single athlete is together, and we're all wearing the same uniform, and we're all representing the United States of America. So the opening ceremony is absolutely a highlight of the game.
That's Hannah Carney. She's here for Bare Naked Granola and hashtag One Up It Challenge. And listen, Hannah, when you're in those gates and you're looking down, I mean, we're all there with you. And I really hope to see you on the medal stand again. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck in Russia.
Well, thank you so much.